Here's the question. Is Old South Church called by God to provide sanctuary to a person or family threatened with deportation? Are we prepared to act in violation of federal immigration law? The Christian Service and Outreach Committee and the Church Council together have considered this and are asking the members of the church also to consider it and in the fall to take it to a vote. There are weighty matters to consider as we enter into this season of discernment. Before beginning my sermon, before trying to frame this question theologically, biblically, spiritually, I'm going to ask the members of the church, just those of you who are full members, to reaffirm the covenant promises we have made to God and to each other. For it is only the full members who will vote and make this decision. May I ask, therefore, that those of you who are members of this church, who bear responsibility before God for this church, to please rise as you are able in body or in spirit. The covenant is printed in the bulletins. Members, together before God, let us affirm our faith. I do now, in the presence of God and before this assembly, give myself to the one whom Jesus called Abba, Father, as the God in whose love I am grounded and whose realm I serve. To Jesus Christ, God incarnate, to whom I surrender and who rules my life. To God the Holy Spirit, as the one who sustains, recreates, and guides me. I will share God's everlasting covenant by loving and living responsibly in communion with this one God. And I do furthermore engage to walk with my brothers and sisters in the wider church and the Old South Church, secure in God's grace, prepared in gratitude to live by the promise and serve in the hope of the gospel. You may be seated. I have spoken this covenant countless times over the 13 years I have served as your senior minister, and Jim Crawford, my predecessor over there, Jim, who knows how many times you yourself have recited this covenant before God in this company. Our covenant is thick, dense, every word ripe and heavy with meaning. But there is a particular sentence, a particular vow, that always catches my attention and catches my breath. I give myself to the one whom Jesus called Abba, Father, as the God in whose love I am grounded and whose realm I serve. Whose realm I serve. That phrase, it catches my attention and it catches my breath because it implies other realms than God's. Other realms, many of them, which you or I might well serve. For instance, there are the realms of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the city of Boston, the United States of America. Realms in which I am a citizen, a resident, which I pay taxes and vote, and to whose laws I am subject. Now, I admit before you that I move in and among these different realms, back and forth, crossing borders to leave one and enter another all the time. I believe that most of us, if we are searingly honest and confessional, we are sometimes more visitors than citizens in God's realm. We come and go. We're not full-on citizens. Some of us maybe even are just visitors. Some maybe like immigrants or permanent residents or here on study visas to learn. Or maybe some of you are actually tourists just popping in on God's realm for a look-see. Today, as we ask, is Old South Church called by God to provide sanctuary to an individual or family threatened with deportation? As we ask this question, I want to turn for help, for assistance, for guidance, to a person who is not a visitor in God's realm, but a full-on citizen, to the prophet Isaiah. With respect to his citizenship in God's realm, Isaiah is all in. Isaiah, one of the so-called major prophets of Israel, is here with us today, as he is every week. He's in the furthest back corner window there, Isaiah the prophet. There's an image of him on the cover of your bulletin as well. He presides over our worship week in and week out in stained glass. And don't think for a moment that the preachers in this pulpit aren't aware of Isaiah's ever-present glare. Don't think we don't consider the rigid plumb line by which he surely measures our sermons. And you should know this about Isaiah, if you don't. He spent an awful lot of his time on earth angry. An awful lot of time angry. Angry at human arrogance and hypocrisy. Angry at greed and injustice. Angry at the imbalances, at the rich being so very, very hard-heartedly rich. And the poor being so very, very desperately unto death poor. And here's the thing. Isaiah's anger is God's anger. That's what makes him a prophet. Isaiah's anger is God's anger. He actually feels what God feels. And because he feels what God feels, Isaiah is thereby empowered to speak for God and does. That's what a full-on prophet is and does. Feel and speak for God. And Isaiah is a full-on prophet and all-the-time citizen of the realm of God. And in the verses read today by Joe, Isaiah, who is usually angry with his fellow humans, is ebullient with his thanksgiving to God. O Lord, you are my God, he sings. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. Why is that, Isaiah? For you, God, have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm, a shade from the heat. In other words, in some contrast to most humans, God's kindnesses, especially to the most vulnerable among us, those out in the cold, those exposed to the elements, those in need, God's kindnesses to them are concrete and generous and literally life-saving. I don't know how well you know the Jewish and Christian scriptures, but here's what I need you to know today. That throughout our scriptures, God is preoccupied with concern for three distinct classes of people, all of them uniquely vulnerable. Widows, orphans, immigrants. Listen, from the Hebrew scriptures, from the First Testament, from the Torah, or the books of law, from Deuteronomy, the Lord your God is the God of all gods and Lord of all lords, the great, mighty, and awesome God who doesn't play favorites and doesn't take bribes, who enacts justice for orphans and widows, and who loves immigrants, giving them food and clothing. That means you must also love immigrants because you yourselves were immigrants in Egypt. From Exodus. You must not oppress foreigners. You know what it's like to be a foreigner. For you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. from Leviticus. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall do him no wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you. And you shall love him as you love yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. From Deuteronomy again. When you're harvesting in your field and you overlook a piece, don't go back and get it. Leave it for the foreigner, for the fatherless and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. And you, when you beat olives from the tree, don't go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And when you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines twice. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. And from the prophets, from Zechariah, don't oppress the widow, the orphan, the stranger, and the poor. Don't plan evil against each other. From the prophet Malachi, I will come to you in judgment, I being God. All of these guys, because they're prophets, they speak for God. I will come to you in judgment, and I will be ready to witness against those who oppress the widow and the fatherless and cheat the wage earner, against those who deny justice to the foreigner. They do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. From the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness, and deliver from the hand of the oppressor him who has been robbed. And do no wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless, and the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. And from the prophet Isaiah, give advice, offer counsel, let Moab's outcasts find asylum among you. Be a shelter for them. And now from the New Testament, from Matthew's Gospel. This is a parable Jesus tells. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. And then the righteous say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you in? And Jesus says, truly, to the degree that you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. From the epistle to the Hebrews, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And I also add to this compendium of biblical witness two of the parable stories in our windows up here. The Good Samaritan story, which is the center story. Somebody asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? And the answer is in the telling of the story, the parable of the Good Samaritan, the answer being anyone in need. And then the window closest to the front is the parable of the workers in the vineyard. If you don't know this story, it's one of the more exasperating for many. What happens is that those who come late to the vineyard, who come in late after others, are treated exactly as those who arrived earlier. Church, these admonitions and these pleadings, these come from our sacred texts, texts to which we are beholden. They come to us from those who inhabit and serve God's realm, the realm Old South Church members we ourselves have pledged to serve. I believe, without doubt, Our sacred texts give clear, consistent, overwhelming testimony to how we are called to treat the stranger, the foreigner, the alien. Across both testaments, in law, in prophecy, in story and gospel, and in parable, the Bible urges, indeed requires, the citizen to befriend and care for, to welcome and support the immigrant. And here's the thing. Should we agree to heed these ancient texts? Should we agree to engage in providing sanctuary to a person or persons threatened with deportation, we will do so in direct defiance of the state. For sometimes being in one realm means being in defiance of another. A recent statement from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and I quote, "Sanctuary jurisdictions across the U.S. willfully violate federal law in an attempt to shield aliens from removal from the United States." In the insert in your bulletins, in the white insert, the announcement insert, if you would turn to the inside of it, there's a page there with some images on it. A frith stool, a sanctuary ring. Both evidence of the ancient right of churches to declare sanctuary, to harbor those who among us who are in peril. Should Old South Church agree to participate in today's sanctuary movement, we will be in direct violation of federal law. And yet we have centuries of precedent on our side. We will have scripture on our side and the teachings of the Bible and the ancient witness of the church. And not least, if I'm right, if my reading of scripture is right and true, if the congregation bears it out, we will have on our side both the prophet Isaiah and the Savior Jesus. If you ask me, that's some mighty fine company to keep.